Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, we begin with two verses from the gospel lesson, and then we dive into the Old Testament lesson after that. First of the verses. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." That's verse 24. Just like last week when we had that great verse from James 2, verse 10. This is a fantastic confirmation instruction verse. You remember what we did last week with me asking you, ever go above the speed limit? Murder. Because if you break the whole law, yet stumble at just one point, you're guilty of all of it. So all of the things of the Ten Commandments come tumbling in on you, thundering in, because you broke one little part, the whole thing's broken, okay? Meanwhile, there is Jesus who keeps the whole law, and he doesn't stumble, and he carries our sins, and so brings salvation. So this weekend, we run into another one of those fantastic verses. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Which raises very serious questions about faith. So does he believe? Does he not believe? Can faith and not believing exist at the same time? In the same heart? Apparently, yes. How else do we explain that? And then Jesus does things to help his unbelief and to bring him stronger in faith. Help my unbelief. And Jesus does so. Is faith and unbelief at the same time in the same hearts for us as well? Do we respond to the Word of God when we hear it? Yes, that Word of God, it's wonderful, it's true, all of the promises, all of the wonderful things, and, oh, I'm wandering off now. Forgetting about the promises and heading off, doing things on my own, in fact, that would be a theme for the first part of the gospel lesson as he brings his child to Jesus. Jesus is off someplace and the disciples try and do the miraculous. They're trying to do it. They really are trying to do it. They're trying to do the religion thing. They absolutely are, and it's not working. And time for the first dip into a little something that a couple of ours from our congregation brought back from their summer travels. Church out in Washington, state of Washington, has this in their services. It's the Lord's Prayer redone. Oh, Lordy. Lord, have mercy. It starts out like this. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. Is that entirely enough? Yeah, okay. What is this not? It's not the Lord's Prayer. Yeah, it is a Lutheran church. This is not the Lord's Prayer. But what else more significantly is it not? The youngest person in attendance at the 8:15 got it right. Teddy says, "It's not the Word of God." Oh. This is really important. That when you have a prayer. Do you want to do prayer on your own? Make up the words as you go? Or be instructed by the Word of God? Yeah. There's a difference there. The Word of God is this thing. Confirmation moment. The Word of God is this thing that's called means of grace, which means it is what God uses to work inside our hearts and our souls and create this thing called faith. So means of grace is from God to us. And that's how prayer starts, strangely enough. It's how prayer starts. Luther got it right when he was talking about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. What does this mean? This is the old version. God would by these words tenderly invite us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children. Okay? Starts out with God tenderly inviting us. Set that aside for a moment. We get to the second of the verses from the gospel lesson. It's the last verse. And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. What? That seems like studying opposites. Isn't doing the driving out of evil something that you do into the world? But wait a minute, isn't prayer something that you do toward God? And prayer versus taking action? How does that figure? Let's see, a few thoughts from here. Not by command, not by seizing authority, by prayer. But prayer is such a humble thing. But that's the pattern. It's the pattern of the ministry of Jesus. And how's that figure? Well, a few interesting tidbits. We learn earlier in Mark how Jesus, as things are starting to roll, he heads out early in the morning to a desolate place while it's still dark, and he spends time in prayer, and when everybody else wakes up, they start looking for him. Come searching for him until finally Peter finds him. Everybody's looking for you. Let's go to other towns as well. But prayer. When you read the account of the feeding of the 5,000, after which Jesus goes up on a mountain to pray and sends the disciples off in the boat, and it's not until the third watch of the night that he comes down and starts walking across the water. So how long was he in prayer? If you take two watches of the night, you're figuring about 6 hours of prayer. There are hints and indications of being in prayer for the whole night. Garden of Gethsemane. It may have been 3 hours, the three times he went off to pray. It's this very long time in prayer. So what is this prayer thing that is the only thing that drives out that kind of a demon? Toss in another thing as well. I had a friend in high school who was this kind of a big guy. I hung around with him a lot. One day he turns and says, I like it when three or four people try and beat you up because they get in each other's way. What? And aside from the what, it's going, okay, I'm hanging around with him because if there's trouble, I just step back, let him handle it, right? When there is trouble in life, who do you hang around with? Yeah, Jesus. Or more generally, with God. When there is evil afoot, who do you want to be close to? God. When there's problems in life and somebody is coming after you, and you suspect the devil's behind this one, who do you hang around with? God. General rule, stay close to God, because he is the one that the devil is actually afraid of, from beginning to end, afraid of God. So spending time in prayer may be a very good idea, which means when Jesus says this kind is driven out only by prayer, he doesn't mean a special formula prayer that he turns and prays to his Father and then it happens. It means what the Old Testament text is telling us about. Oh, that means we have to turn to Isaiah chapter 50, starting at verse 4. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Morning by morning. The daily call and appointment with God. Morning by morning, the time where the Word of God reaches out to you and calls to you with all those words and promises that are there in the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit working through the means of grace to create and strengthen faith, to equip you for life, to equip you to deal with the things that life is going to bring along, morning by morning. And in our Bible study, we were talking about the silent times in certain people's lives. In the life of Jesus, from 12 years old until he began his ministry, the 14 years when Paul was off somewhere and nothing much happened. And the Old Testament, Moses, how many years out in the wilderness before the appearance of God? 40 years. Morning by morning, God calling. Morning by morning with his word. Morning by morning inviting us into his fellowship to hear his promises, to hear his word, to have our souls formed by God. And guess who is speaking in the Old Testament lesson? I'll give you one guess after I read for you verse 6. I gave my back to those who strike and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Yeah, Jesus. What day was that those things happened? Good Friday. So it is the pattern of the Son of God, morning by morning. That close communion with his Father, that thing that is called prayer, but it is the drawing close in communion with God. Prayer, which is a whole lot more than God, I need, God, gimme, God, I want this. Prayer that can go on a whole long time without asking for anything, because the heart and the core of prayer is the Word of God to us, and then God's Word working through our hearts and our souls and making its way onto our lips and on our tongues, so that we are talking with God and receiving his word and being prepared for all of those things in life. Out of that, things happen. Out of that comes that day when they brought the young boy to Jesus. And Jesus commands the spirit to leave. And later says to his disciples, only by prayer. Only by prayer. Out of that comes Jesus heading to Jerusalem, his face set like flint. Heading to Jerusalem, right into the point of darkness where evil gathers around, right to Jerusalem and right then to Calvary. Where? On Calvary, there is the Son of God there with perfect faith, in a perfect relationship with his Father, going there with faith in the words and promises of God, hearing those words and promises of God, and then going to the place where the words and promises of God turn into the judgment of God thundering down on him, and still he holds to the words and promises of God. Now there's faith. And at that spot where the judgment of God is thundering down on him, what does he do? First, middle, and last words from the cross. He prays. Father, forgive them. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And in that relationship of faith and prayer, that is how he offers himself as the perfect sacrifice. Perfect sacrifice meaning not just that he had no sin and he lived a perfectly holy and righteous life. Perfect sacrifice in that he goes into that with the absolute faith expressed in prayer that shows to us that the words and promises of God, they are ours. They are ours in our time of distress. They are ours in our time of confusion and uncertainty. They are ours in that time of darkness where we can trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God. How the passage from Isaiah ends. And Jesus brings the words and promises to us by carrying the words and promises of God into the darkness of this world where evil gathers around and the devil mocks and says, if he is the Son of God, let him come down. Where the people around turn away and will not believe. But he brings the words and promises of God to that place so that we may know there is no place in our life where the words and promises of God are not coming to us there. And that makes knowing Jesus incredibly sweet. In Jesus' name, amen.